Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Mahan.
Ramadan Mubarak, blessed Ramadan. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava, brought to you by Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Mohammed, and we are so pleased and honored to be streaming live on WKBOL 100.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa. KBOL also carries the Time and What Must Be Done series and invites you to hear Torchlight every Friday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time with Michael Mohammed. And, of course, it is a blessing to have the opportunity to host Elevated Places on broadcast radio every Sunday here in Chicago, and that is at 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern Standard Time on the Talk of Chicago, the legendary WVON radio. And we stream live on WVON.com if you don't live in the Chicago area, or you can download the iHeart app free on your smartphone or tablet. And, of course, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Dr. Ava Mohammed. And please remember that this month we are observing the holy month of Ramadan, and tonight we are going to have a very special edition of Ask Dr. Ava, and we are going to be joined very shortly by Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad, the national imam of the Nation of Islam. So call your friends, tweet them, send them messages to join the program tonight, because what we're going to do is address Ramadan from the perspective of our personal experience with it. And Imam Sultan will enable you to maximize your personal Ramadan experience. He was the guest on WVON this past Sunday, and I am still getting tremendous feedback from all walks of life about his serenity, his clear love of the people, his love for these teachings, for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, of course, as always, this is your forum, and we engage in open and intelligent discussion, and we're centering the conversation around freedom, justice, and equality, including economic independence and self-determination for the 40-plus million descendants of slaves here in North America. And we always invite you to listen in or log in. And if you want to participate, of course, that's what makes this show the awesome forum that it is you and the energizing conversation that me and the panel could not have without you. So call us at 347-324-5091. That's 347-324-5091. I am joined this evening by two brilliant brothers, Brother Terrence Muhammad, who is my co-host, and Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, who is our resident contributor and analyst. And so they are both here. And I think between the three of us, we can help you with your questions. And shortly, we will be joined by Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad on the subject of Ramadan. Of course, let me greet my brothers. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you both for being with me this evening.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is great. And before we get off the air, and really shortly, Dr. Ridgely, we definitely want you to share with us the July 4th event that was held at the farm in Georgia. And I was getting tweets and text messages about that great experience.
Glad to be able.
I don't know if that's me or you, but we're breaking up.
I think that was him.
Okay. Well, I think we lost Dr. Ridgely because he's traveling, and I'm sure he'll dial back in. I want to note several things, Brother Terrence, before you update us. First of all is the Nation of Islam lost Amina Rasul. And for those of you who knew her, this woman was absolutely a legend in her own time. I was so blessed to come into the Nation of Islam at Mosque Number 7. And when I came in the early 1980s, Sister Amina Rasul, who served under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as MGT and GCC captain, and also served under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it was only when her health deteriorated and she began to slow down that she was not able to teach classes. But back in the 80s, she was coming into the classes and teaching us, and I just don't think a woman could have any better experience in understanding what it is to be a Muslim woman than to be taught by Sister Amina Rasul. And Allah blessed her and blessed us for her to be among us these many years. Her service was today in New York, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. She was 91 years old, and she was actually under Malcolm X, under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when Malcolm X was minister over Boston. That's when a very young Sister Amina Rasul was made MGT captain, and then when Minister Louis Farrakhan became captain of Number 7 in New York, Amina Rasul was the MGT captain, not only for the city of New York, but over the entire East Coast region. And so if you take a look at the current edition of The Final Call, you will see a letter from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and an editorial, beautiful editorial, written about our beloved sister. So Brother Terrence, tell us, we know we're in Ramadan, and so hopefully we're all becoming more calm and thoughtful and reflective and clear-headed. And if not, we're going to be better after tonight when we get that guidance. So why don't you talk to us about some of the things that are going on?
Well, yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. You know, I can't wait till our brother Imam Sultan comes on, because Ramadan with the food and the water hasn't been an issue. But our so-called brothers and sisters have been pushing that last nerve.
Come on.
So I'm just trying
on.
To figure out, brother Sultan, how can he help me restrain from the nerve pushing of
Come
the
on.
So-called American Negro. I can
Come
pick
on.
The food and the water. So y'all need to tune in to get some advice for tonight. I just had to start off with that little tidbit.
You're probably
so we make
talking
it
to everybody listening who's feeling the same way. You really,
so
well,
I
you
cannot
hit it there.
Wait. I cannot wait on our brother to come to help us. But, you know, I do want to go right back And I want to start off by saying that on Sunday, you know, on WVON, and hopefully we'll carry it on to next week, we're going to be talking about one of the most monumental books that you've done, Real Love. And we're going to be talking about that on WVON. And Real Love has so many nuggets and so many jewels, and it just doesn't deal with a male-female relationship. It deals with relationships and how to build relationships. And it's a very phenomenal book, and I think everyone should have that book, not because it's Sister Ava, but the information is timeless, and it applies to everything. And I open up with Real Love, because when we're looking at the life of Amina Rasool, you know, I got off the phone with our brother, student minister, Brother Hafiz, and I asked, you know, how was the janazah today? And it was high spirit when they brought out the casket. They yelled Allahu Akbar. They was blessed with Sister Aisha to be there. Sister Sandy was there. Our sister LaShonda was there. You know, those that are taking the mantle that she upheld, you know, showed out and represented for her. I heard believers from Charlotte, and as I literally was driving down from D.C. back home, they were literally coming up from Charlotte, North Carolina, going to New York to pay homage and respect to our sister Amina Rasool. And Brother Hafiz mentioned that she affected his life in Chicago back in 87 to 88, and she used to give him counsel. And one time she gave him counsel to calm him down. And then she gave him a gift, and he was like, no, I should be giving you a gift. And she said, no, brother, the message, you know, it's rude to not accept the gift. So he took the gift. And so not only did she counsel the mighty MGT, she counseled many brothers on a lot of different things. So he also said he read the words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the janazah. So that was just a beautiful thing to see. And in a continuance of the love, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was recently in Philadelphia, and he talked about reconciliation, bringing the family of Emmanuel Worthen and the Nation of Islam, one ummah, one family, and really the whole Muslim world coming together. But that particular family, because we have the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as our father, and it was a beautiful experience at that forum. But at the janazah for Dr. Abdul Halim Shabazz, I was blessed to be at Masjid Muhammad this past Sunday in Washington, D.C., and it was a beautiful thing to see the believers come out for his janazah. We had our student minister, Brother Abdul Qadir, reading the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Our brother, student minister, Brother Carlos from Baltimore was there. And our Brother Jalil was there, who does the hadith of the day on the Ramadan prayer line. He was there, and he had Minister Akbar, student Minister Akbar, on the phone at the during the janazah. But the local imam, resident imam there, gave words, and the former, one of the longest standing imams there, gave words, and he was just overly excited, so excited to see the family together, that this one man, Dr. Shabazz, will bring us back together as a family, as one ummah, to celebrate his life, because he has touched all of our lives. So that was a very moving janazah this past Sunday in Washington, D.C., and just to see that the family allowed the Nation of Islam to have words, because it was only about four speakers, and it was so many people that had words to say. Even the great Leonard Jeffries took a train down, and he got there just in time to be for the ceremony at the janazah this past Sunday. And also very significant thing, Brother Jerry out of Atlanta, former captain out of St. Louis, recently transitioned, and the powerful statement of the brothers from St. Louis went down to Atlanta and assisted the brothers down there, Brother Student Minister John and Student Minister Regional Captain Brother Oliver, well, Captain John. They went down, brother from St. Louis went down to give this brother his proper burial. And it was a beautiful thing of brotherhood. And I talked to student Captain Oliver, and I was saying, you know, this was a beautiful thing because he wasn't, quote-unquote, a big title Muslim brother, but he said, no, but the greatest title was a Muslim. And just to see the love of the brotherhood to come unite and the brothers go down from St. Louis to help to give respect to this great former captain of the Nation of Islam was a beautiful thing to see of Real Love. And I just want to throw out there the issues that be on the lookout and watching, the issue that's going on in Detroit about the water being cut out in different communities where major corporations have hundreds of thousands of dollar debts and overdue for months, water bills, but that's a growing issue and a growing groundswell. John Conyers, Congressman Conyers, is getting ready to get involved in this. So there's a lot of issues going on. And as you said, please read the latest edition of The Final Call with the tribute to Amina Rasool. It's also there's going to be a tribute on the 19th for a long-standing, strong soldier, Captain Majid out of Newark. And we want to also make sure that people get this book, Real Love, because there's a growing issue of domestic violence on our women. There's national protests, and we know they just arrested a young man in Charlotte, North Carolina, for the death of his girlfriend. And so there's a lot going on that we really have to need to have these discussions. And I think this Ramadan discussion will be great for us tonight.
Yes, and we are joined at this time on the line by Brother Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad. And I want to go right to him because he has taken time out. He's very much in demand, and he's not only going to be able to stay on the line until 9 Eastern, 8 Central. And so we want to avail ourselves not only of his knowledge and wisdom, but the serenity that he always brings into a situation. And, of course, he is the first national imam of the Nation of Islam. And he is a teacher of Arabic. He is fluent in Arabic. He studied. And he'll talk a little bit more about he has studied and lived in Saudi Arabia. And he brings so much to the community. As we talked about unity, he has really been a key force in reuniting and reconciling the branches of the family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad among themselves and with the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, you know, when you meet this brother in person, you cannot help but feel more calm. But at the same time, there's an excitement because the passion that he feels for Islam and for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and for our people, it just vibrates. My daughter, my youngest daughter, who like many young teens is going through a lot, in the struggle against the gravitational pull of the enemy. But the one person, the one faculty member at Muhammad University of Islam that could always reach her and that she loves dearly is Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad. So without further ado, let me bring him in. Welcome, Brother Imam. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam. Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem to you and all the listeners. It's a blessing and honor to be invited on such a beautiful show that is important to lifting up the word of and for the resurrection of our people. So thank you, ma'am, for having me today.
Well, thank you for being with us. And I think what I'm going to start with is an issue that Brother Terrence raised before you came on, because I had shared with the listeners and those logged in that we can benefit so much from hearing you insofar as the Ramadan experience, and that's brought over the airwaves on Sunday. You personalized it for us and took us above the level where we might look at this holiest of months as a burden or something that I do because I'm told to do. We don't want that view of Ramadan held, because then you lose the benefit of the beauty of it. And so one of the things that Brother Terrence raised that I think a lot of believers share with him, I think you spoke for a lot of people, and he said that the issue is not so much the food and water, but black folks getting on one's nerves. Mm-hmm. And I know that you talked on Sunday about that this is more than refraining from food and drink during the daylight hours. It's also a period of spiritual reflection. So if we could get your thoughts on that and how to handle ourselves when we're tried by one another.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. This is a month where we have a prescription from Allah Almighty, Most High, to really handle some of the most difficult aspects of our own personalities. You know, this is a month where we should think very clearly that there is no I, there is no mine, and there is no me. That you and we should all be striving to really effectively remove ourselves from all aspects of our life so that Allah Most High can reign supreme. As Allah says in the Quran, Sibghatillah, take on his color. So we are to really put down our own personal character, our own personal idiosyncrasies, and allow for the truth to reign. And the biggest aspect of the fasting that we should keep in mind is actually its meaning in Arabic, and that is sawm, S-A-W-M. You know, there's no exact way to spell that in the English language. But the sawm, it means, the fasting, it means really to abstain, but to remain motionless, to remain motionless. So when we are confronted by ignorance, you know, Allah has given us a command in the Quran for those that he calls the servants of the merciful. And that is to say peace, to simply allow ourselves to remain in a peaceful state without being baited, without being pulled into arguments. And this is in Surah 25, verse 63, where he says, "The servants of the beneficent are they who walk on the earth in humility. And when the ignorant address them, they say peace." So this is something with particularly our people. You know, I'm reminding everyone, as I'm reminding myself, that we tend to, you know, when ignorance comes our way, we reflect the same ignorance. And it becomes even a competition. Who can get the most ignorant in those circumstances? So this is a trial for us to learn, ultimately, the prescription of God consciousness. That when we are fasting, we are to remain motionless from the drinking of water, motionless from the eating of food, motionless from the slack talk and idle gossip that we engage in, even what we're taking in as far as messages around us and what we put ourselves around. So this is our time where we are blessed to have a mirror put before us that is the beauty of the character of God that we would like to reflect.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Well, we've got callers lining up, so I'm going to start going to the calls because I know your time is limited. And we have Brother Michael, who is calling from 765 area code, and he has a question or comment. Brother Michael, you are live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum.
Ramadan Mubarak to you also, ma'am. Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, sir.
I am beginning to, I want to get into learning about the Arabic I know it's a lot deeper meaning of the Quran when you can read it. It's like a song you can feel when you read it in the native language that it's in. So I'm just I'm very, very interested in trying to learn it from that perspective. So I just wanted to know what would be the best way for me to begin to do that.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Yes, sir.
And I do have one more comment.
Sure.
Let Dr. Ridgely know that if he decides that if he need any more help on the farm down there, I may be more than willing to come down there and help too.
Awesome.
That's right.
Awesome. Bless your heart. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Michael.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Brother Imam, on the Arabic language.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Brother Michael, for that question. You know, we understand and have been taught in the Nation of Islam and taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of course, first by Master Farad Muhammad, that Arabic is our original language. So we should make an effort, all of us, to return to our original selves. And Arabic as a language is a language that is very specific. It has the largest lexicon in the linguistic world. It is the oldest living language. So not only the original language, but it's the oldest living language. So we, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has stated in the table talk, he said that we can learn more about ourselves in the original language of Arabic, even though we were born in English. This particular statement stood out to me because I understand that, you know, when we are first introduced to a language, there are some barriers. You know, we've been trained in the white man's mind. We've been trained in this Orientalist mindset to really take on the same type of aversions that the enemy has. So when you hear the language of Islam, notice I didn't say the language of the Arabs, but the language of Islam, we are hearing the beauty of Allah's speech firsthand. In the Quran, Allah says that he has chosen Arabic because it's easy to recite. So it, we find, as Brother said, it has a melody, it has a rhythm, it has a rhyme, and it is, when we hear it, almost as simple and beautiful sounding as the chants on a playground, you know, the nursery rhyme styles. It's very easy to remember, but the meanings are so deep, so insightful, and so precise. So how can we begin our study? We first should really take it step by step with the alphabet, begin to familiarize ourselves with the alphabet and phonics. Praise be to Allah, we've launched a course of study through NOI.org, our national site, at IslamicSciences.NOI.org. And that first course we have for the believers is a Arabic phonics course. It allows us to begin to study the original language step by step, beginning with the phonetics and then moving into how to read words. And we will have future courses where we deepen the study in Arabic grammar. But the first step is really to clear ourselves of the enemy's vision of the language. Many of us are still, again, we hear the glottal tones with the kha and the bad and the ayin, and we hear something that is not familiar to us, and some of our young may laugh, right? But that's the enemy's laughter. For if we really truly understood the beauty of the language, we would understand that it truly is part of our separation from the enemy. Why? Because language is the storehouse of ideas, and we first have to rid ourselves of the mind of the enemy before we can have a new mind that will reflect a new world. So praise be to Allah. I thank you, brother, for that question. And we, after we rid ourselves of the mind of the enemy, then we have to commit ourselves to really taking the time and making the commitment to attack the basic steps of what it means to learn a new language.
Very profound.
Thank you, brother.
And yes, thank you. And you had made mention, I think we had gone off the air on Sunday, when you talked about the hip-hop generation, and you observed that there already is beginning to be a return to the original language. Could you expound on that, repeat that again, what you shared with us in the studio?
Absolutely. You know, the scientists of this world, they are studying us. So we have come through a sojourn that is so dehumanizing. It was so dehumanizing that we had to develop code in our language to be able to really communicate with one another our true intentions. In that code, which is now termed Ebonics or, you know, and has been used as a way to really demean us for being intellectually inferior, we have a reality that this is no sense in inferiority, but a reflection of our ingenuity and truly our original tongues. For instance, in the Arabic language, there is no is. If is used, meaning the present tense to be, it is for emphatic purposes, not for common usage. So when we say he good, that's us communicating in our original terms, understanding, you know, that it should be clear that we are in present tense, brother, you know. So he good. So now we have the enemy studying us, and what they have now developed is a concept of what's called Black Arabic. So now instead of twisting English to fit ourselves, we are coming into ourselves in our original language. Throughout hip-hop music, we begin to look and see terms like Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, like Ummi, my mother, or there is no God but God. And if we look in, for instance, our brother Jay Electronica, his work, brother's speaking in code, and he's speaking Arabic as part of that code. So this is an example of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prophesied for us as a people, returning to our original language. So this, brother, is a very important aspect of the reality of self. And inshallah, thank you, Sister Ava, Dr. Ava, for bringing that up. We must begin to do a basic study of our language, and not for just intellectual gymnastics, but know that it is part of a code that is leading us ultimately to separation from the mind of the enemy.
Ooh, that is incredible. And you know, to your point, I remember the first day of Ramadan, which mine was the 29th, because I got an email that that it was the 28th, and I was on my way, and I'm all happy about my little Starbucks coffee, which is my problem, and I'm on my way to the airport on the 28th, 6 a.m. flight, so we the brothers picked us up like at 3:30 in the morning, and lo and behold, the tsunami prayer line is on, and they were about to introduce the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I said, "It's today." You know, like I was completely caught off guard. So I ended up starting the next day, the Sunday. But in reading the opening, Al-Fatiha, I decided to spend more time on Maulana Muhammad Ali's footnotes this year.
Yes.
And for the first time, and really it's you, Brother Imam, that made me do that when you spoke at a meeting recently about that, reminding us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stressed that we should make an effort to begin to return to our original language, even in the process of practicing Islam, that this is going to be critical. And we can be better Muslims. And so when I looked at the breakdown and the word in, in the name of Allah, and the translator was saying that in the Arabic language means with the assistance of, with the help of. And so when we say in the name of Allah, we're not just saying, oh, in the name, as we know it over in this culture, but when we say, every time we say in the name of Allah, we are saying with the help of Allah, with the assistance of Allah, because we can't do anything without him. Yes, sir. So this is so beautiful.
I have a question.
Oh,
I have
yes,
a question. Someone called in with you, Minister Ava, when you weren't on, and they asked a question, and maybe Brother Sultan can help us with that. What's the difference between Assalamu alaikum, and say Wa alaikum salam and Wa alaikum assalam? So what's the difference between Wa alaikum salam and Wa alaikum assalam?
Yes. First on, with Sister Dr. Ava gave us, no doubt, that the Arabic word for N is B. So when we say bismi, the first, that prefix at the beginning of the word ism, bismi, is in by or with. Now, I'm starting with this for a purpose because many split very deep hairs among the broader Muslim world about how in the name of Allah is translated or interpreted. So some go further to capture with what Dr. Ava gave us by saying by the name of Allah or with the name of Allah. So you even find schools of thought around who uses the word with or who uses the word in. And they become theological arguments even if we don't be careful. So Allah tells us, you know, with knowledge came envy and came the discord and the breaking apart of the community. So we have to be careful as we pick up the language not to project into the interpretations our schools of thought, so to speak. So what you have now are some that exaggerate the as-salam in the as-salam alaykum or wa alaykum as-salam, right, to give emphasis to the definite article al in the term al-Islam, right? So they're trying to actually, in a subtle manner, say that they have the Islam versus versus Islam. So when we are coming to knowledge, unfortunately, some are using these as divisive opportunities. You know, so that is what when you hear someone say "Wa alaikum assalam," that's their main focus, is to try to bring emphasis on the al or the definite article the in Islam, right? So otherwise, we also find ourselves with simple mispronunciations. We have to be careful with the greetings. If we do not pronounce the lam or the L sound in Assalamu alaikum, we twist the words. Instead of meaning peace be upon you, it becomes death upon you. So we have to be careful about the lazy tongue, even, because we sometimes, you know, hear our brothers and sisters say, Assalamu alaikum, you know, without pronouncing the first L.
Right.
And, you know, so the enemy also finds his way to twist, you know, this, and we find this in the history of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where the Jews of his day would twist the meaning in just that manner to wish death upon the Prophet.
Wow.
Peace be upon him.
Well, thank you, Dr. Rizzi, for that question, because that I knew this was going to be enlightening. Now, that brings me to this question with the texting, A-S-A-W-S. To me, and I've done it sometimes, but I try to spell out the entire word because I feel that if you don't have time for the entire greeting, then just don't give the greeting. But what are your thoughts on all this? A brief, I mean, it took a year. This was a few years back when texting became in vogue or whatever. And I finally asked someone, what is WS? What is that? And they said, well, alaykum salam. Huh?
Ouch, Sister Ava. You threw that rock at me. Ouch.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Well, I think about 80 million people are doing this, along with, you know, OTW, on the, I mean, my daughters have to always explain, what is BTW, by the way? And I'm just thinking, this is so profound, what the imam is saying about being careful with speech, and because I think it's laziness, which we get from the enemy.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Well, beloved, don't feel like she cast that stone only at you. I caught a little bit of that also. I'm guilty.
Me too.
Of
me too. You get beat down.
Yes, ma'am. We do have to be careful. First thing is, English is a bastard. It's a bastard language. So we are in the mind of the enemy. So the reality is that whatever means of communication that we're using in the English language is prone to deviation and prone to prone to obscureness as well. So, it is best to lean toward actually typing it all the way out. You know, sometimes what I've done is just made a copy-paste kind of thing where I have a quick paste I can make of the full greeting. But I find myself falling into the ASA and WAS quite often. And what I would say is that we shouldn't split too many hairs about the specifics, but to lean upon that general principle that I mentioned, is that if we're in the English language, we are in a territory of speaking a language that is designed to snare us. Sister Dr. Ava, I know you're in the legal field, so you know how the English language can be twisted and interpreted in so many different ways, and how many arguments can be around just the structure of a sentence, because, frankly, the English language is not precise enough to hold the meanings of what is trying to be expressed. There are many poets that are coming from the Semitic languages of Hebrew and Arabic that have a significant amount of difficulty expressing themselves in poetry in English because there just aren't the words to express themselves. One described it as having a blank canvas without enough colors of paint. You know, that you're limited to the colors of paint as an artist to actually express yourself. So this is the bottom line, is that we really should quick, fast, and in a hurry do our best to find ourselves in the study of the original language in a means to deepen our knowledge really truly about ourselves. And we'll find ourselves learning, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, more about ourselves when we are studying the language. We'll be more precise in even our thought. And there's many examples that we could use in that light, but I would say let us strive to use the Arabic of the text. You know, many of these, if you have iPhone or other devices, you know, I have an Arabic keypad that I use. And what I do is that, you know, those who understand or can read Arabic is I mix it. You know, I take it as far as I can with the individual that I'm communicating with. If you can read, assalamu alaikum, I'm going to text you, assalamu alaikum. There's a brother, his name is, I'll give him a shout out, my brother Amin in Minneapolis. And we do this all the time. We're communicating in half Arabic and half English, even in text. You know, so praise be to Allah. Let's use these devices for what they actually can be, and that's exceptional tools for communication.
And Dr. Ava, I just wanted to jump in here 1 second. One thing is that Imam Sultan said about hip-hop, you know, I'm a lover of hip-hop, but one of the things I realized is that when we came over here on the shores to America, you know, one of the first things they wanted to do was cut us away from our original tongue and our original language. So when the father was calling the Adhan, they made sure that the child didn't hear it, so they separated us from hearing our own tongue. And I say that because in the quote-unquote golden ages of hip-hop, the late 80s, early 90s, there was this surge of consciousness. And because of the Nation of Islam, there was a lot of Islamic influence on hip-hop. So as Brother Iman was talking about all this Islam, even right now, Jay Electronica, but all this Islam was in hip-hop, and we was hearing it. Like, to my point today, I didn't even know I was hearing, but I was hearing my native tongue through rap. And just like they did in slavery, they made sure that they took that off the airway, because we was raising up a consciousness in Islam because that language was being spoken through the hip-hop language or hip-hop music.
That's right.
And even when we commit words to rote memory, even when we don't know what they mean, the brain is processing those words. And that's how we fell to where we are now, because over a period of time, we did in reverse what the imam is talking about now, that we should start to do in the other direction. In the return is start to utilize the language to the best of our ability, even if it's a few words at a time. I mean, that's what I'm inspired to do, because when we came here, that's how they forced us into submission. You know, and I'm thinking about the movie Roots, when, you know, the brother was beaten and beaten and beaten,
mm-hmm.
and forced to accept the devil's name. And so we're returning now the other way. Even when it's, when you see the brothers in the NBA and the NFL, mm-hmm. when I see them with those names on their shirts, you know, Muhammad, and when you see that and hear, oh, Rashid this and Rafiq and mm-hmm. Tariq, and I don't know if they know or not the meaning of that. It's forcing the slave master's children to say it. You know, like
that's
Muhammad
right.
Ali
right.
used to say my name.
My name. Go ahead.
When these Negro boxers kept calling him Cassius Clay, and he said when he fought Floyd Patterson, this is going to be a humiliation. You know, I was already going to whip him. But now, you know, since he won't call me in my name, I'm going to humiliate him. And that's what he did. And so, you know, Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, making them say his name, no matter what they think about it. And so I'm making notes. But anyway, but thank you for that, Brother Terrence. Now we've got more callers who want to get in the discussion. We have Sister Ula, who has a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, Sister Ula.
And Ramadan Kareem, Sister Ava, and brother, and other brothers and sisters. I'm a little nervous because I was going to say some things about how Allah has blessed me in this Ramadan. But we have Brother Sultan on, and I don't have a question for him. But I do want to say that I do admire him for the stand he takes in merging us as believers all over the nation. But I will say this: I thank Allah for Brother Doctor. What's Doctor? I'm a little nervous. Doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Doctor Ridgely.
Yes, ma'am. Because as a result of that, I don't use any type of sugar. All praise to Allah.
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
I'm only baking with honey. I'm not using anything artificial. I'm very strict on my diet, and I thank Allah for Minister Farrakhan giving us the far. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Praise
now, I'm
going
to let me move to some of the calls who have been waiting for a while. We have Brother Hoyle, and he is, let's get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, Brother Hoyle.
Ramadan Kareem. Assalamu alaikum, and Ramadan Mubarak to all you get, to your guests, Brother Sultan.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, Brother, I want to thank you. You have a beautiful article in this week's paper, I mean last week's paper on the holy month of Ramadan. Oh, excellent. It's on the first page, the second page. And I was just looking at it, and I was just reading through it, and you said something that really, you know, we're faced with so much adversity. And, you know, and this is something that, and just reading this article, it says, the holy month of fasting in Ramadan is a secret between the believer of Allah, God the Most High. For Allah knows best of our fasting. He knows if we're keeping clean thoughts, the pure actions. He knows whether or not we have cursed our brother or sister out. He knows that we're sneaking in the refrigerator in the midday. These are the aspects of the self that we must eradicate by changing these bad habits of egotism that we all have suffered from. And this is good. It says, we are not fasting to lose weight. We're fasting to lose our egos. If we fast on the right mindset,
love it.
We are putting aside the basic hungers of life. When we are able to put our hungers aside, the enemy cannot control us through our stomachs and low desires. What beautiful advice we have from the Holy Prophet of Islam in these words, cultivate within yourself the attributes of Allah God. That is so beautiful. I just want to thank you, brother, for that beautiful article. And you all expound on that, and I'll just listen and let other people call. And we all have a blessed Ramadan, and I'll listen in. And Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Praise be to Allah. Thank you for your kind words, and I pray Allah that these words that are being written really taken to heart, and inshallah are a means of us to not only deepen our knowledge, but see where these rites or rituals are to lead. So the fasting is itself ultimately a way for us to learn God consciousness, as Allah says He has prescribed, or to stay away from evil. But if we truly look at it, we'll see that He's turning our lives upside down. He's changing our sleeping patterns so that we have to get up extra early for before the Fajr prayer, so we don't have the luxury of waiting a little later, you know, because the prayer comes in a range where we normally could make it at 5 o'clock. It's in, but we have to get up before the prayer comes in to actually have something of a light meal, water, or some fruit before the day. And then we are also subjected to this means of really putting our ego aside by changing the eating pattern, where we're not immediately satisfying our needs. So we are looking to be anointed by Allah's divine attributes, His divine character. We're looking, when we say anointed, that's a wiping, that which is a means of purification, a washing with an oil. But we are washing away, you know, Brother Sultan, so that Allah can reign supreme in our lives. We are taking ourselves out of the imagination that we've created called our lives, which only separates ourselves from our true identity, which is our identity in Allah. You know, so we're trying in this month to do the best we can to become one with Allah so that we are the agents of His will. So praise be to Allah. We are given this prescription in a society where self-restraint is really a joke. It's the opposite of what you are constantly taught to do, and that is to feed the ego, feed the self, obey your thirst. You know, the more I get, the more successful I am, the higher my self-esteem is, when truly the only self that should be esteemed is the self of God. Now we have to, praise be to Allah, really take this time and see, put up the mirror. How much of my life have I been dedicating to gossip, to frivolous activities, to things that really will not live beyond the grave? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us about how we can escape death.
We can't escape death chasing our egos and chasing our desires. We have to establish principles that will live on in the minds of our loved ones, in the minds of those that we have served, in the hearts of the community and the believers that we have sacrificed for. This is how we escape death. So no one's going to remember someone who has taken on their low desires as their God. But Allah and the people will remember those who have put their basic ideas of their own personality aside so that all good comes from that individual. As Allah says, good only comes from Allah. All good comes from Allah. And we, inshallah, have to be those vessels.
My goodness. Well, we've got time. I know it's coming up on the 8 o'clock hour, so hopefully we have time for one or two more questions from the callers. If we could be brief,
ma'am,
so we can get a couple people in before you have to leave us. We've got Brother Derek calling, who is in the 832 area code. As-salamu alaykum, Ramadan Mubarak, Brother Derek.
Alaykum salam, Ramadan Kareem to everyone. Brother Sultan, brother, let me ask you a question. I was talking with an Islamic sheikh, and we got into talking about Allah. And so I said to him that Allah, if you look in his name, you have all in his name. And I referred to Allah as being the all in all. And then he said, well, I've never heard anybody talk like that in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And then I said to him that of course you probably didn't, because we are being blessed to be given a new expression of what you all have. Okay, so later on in our conversation, now this is what I want to ask about. Okay, I told him that he wanted to know how so. So I told him, let's take the name Allah and put a hyphen in there. We have A-L hyphen L-A-H. And then I said, when you're saying it, it sounds like all law. But I want to know, what do L-A-H mean in Arabic?
Thank you for the question, Brother Derek.
Yes, ma'am.
What does A L L?
No, sir. Right, L A H.
La. Right. This means deity, but as in illa, it means deity or the object of worship. So what we have, you have to be careful with English, beloved. All right, we have to be careful with English. We can make it mean anything almost. Okay, and I definitely appreciate the question of what does it mean in Arabic. That's the goal. Is that we are looking at the word illa, or deity, or object of worship. And this concept that you're discussing is a crucial concept and part of Islamic theology that we find very much of a debatable framework when we deal with point 12 and we deal with the understanding of the Islamic world around these points. So we must definitely, when we're discussing these finer points with the broader Muslim world, is stay in the Quran, stay with references that they can understand. And when we look at, for instance, this concept that you're speaking of, Allah, all in all, we're looking at a concept that is very clear in Surah 8, Anfal, Surah 8, verse 17. In Surah 8, verse 17, we see Allah speaking to the prophet and the believers, peace be upon him, as it relates to a battle that was fought by the Muslims. And the battle is a battle that was so specifically a sign of the miracle of the of Islam and of the Prophet, peace be upon him, because it was a battle where there were only roughly 300 individuals fighting more than 1,000. And this battle was a decisive one that allowed are the believers to be edified and affirmed in their connection with God. And we see in the Quran, in this particular verse, Surah 8, verse 17, as we mentioned, that Allah says it was not you who threw Muhammad, right? It was not you, believers, who slew, but it was Allah, it was I. And the exact is, so you slew them not, but Allah slew them. And thou smotest not when thou didst smite the enemy, but Allah smote him, and that he might confer upon the believers a benefit from himself, surely Allah is hearing and knowing. So here we have where Allah is expressly saying that I am the all. I am the all willing. And it is the individuals that submit their will to me that then absolutely vanish. Again, this idea of shedding the ego. It wasn't the individual Muhammad that threw or smite. And it wasn't the believers that smite, but it was Allah's hand over their hands that smote. So, or defeated the enemy. So these are numerous in the Quran, this idea that Allah's will supersedes any individual will. And we definitely have to, as I mentioned, try to stay in the Arabic and try to stay in references that the broader Muslim world can understand. And ultimately, we'll see that many share our concepts. But as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is now taking us into a universal mission where he is expanding our breath, right, and loosening the knot in the tongue, that we now should be able to come into the Holy Quran, deal with these words, and open up concepts, because it'll be very difficult simply in the English language and relying on our own ideas and concepts in English language and our own resources. Let's take it to the Quran. And when we take it to the Quran, we will always, always win. And not to be shy to go into the Arabic, thinking that we are on someone else's turf now, that we are speaking in the Arabic. Oh, now I'm on the turf or playing field of those in the East by dealing in the Arabic, and I might find myself losing. No. Every time you will find yourself winning if you embrace and if we embrace the Arabic Quran. We will find consistently proofs of the understandings that we have of Allah himself and the self-identity being inextricably related to the identity of Allah God.
All praise is due to Allah. Brother Imam, I just don't know how to thank you. We are deeply grateful to you. You are a maker of history. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan makes history in the course of his mission in ways that we probably can't even comprehend. It will take generations from now. But to be appointed the first resident imam of Mosque Mariam, which is our flagship mosque, our national imam by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and as we hear you tonight, and not only imam, but great-grandson of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's just such an amazing time because I think you represent the progress and the expansion that we are making to our global destiny, because we are destined to be the guiding light of Islam for the entire world. And you have really clarified for us that we are going to have to return to our own language in order to do that. So I thank you so much for sharing your time, and I know you had to squeeze us in, but please come back because you're going to have to talk to us
That's right.
More about prayer and also about Hajj.
Yes.
That the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said 2015, and I think 2016 at the latest, that we are going to make Hajj. And so we need that instruction, that direction. I mean, I just get chills, like good chills, when I think about it. So thank you, beloved, so much, and may Allah continue to bless you.
I thank Allah for the opportunity, and I thank Allah for this humbling experience, being a part of the vision of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, this is something that I did not foresee. You know, as you mentioned, this is the first time in our nation, so this is not something that I had, quote, ambition for. You know, I felt very satisfied and was very comfortable as an instructor at Muhammad University with our children, Muhammad University of Islam, and I just found myself taking on certain roles, and it was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that had the insight to really name that role and in his appointment. And, you know, I thank Allah for what is a privilege and yet a burden at the same time, and we are all to pick up our cross, and inshallah, we're unfolding His will. And I'll leave us with a passage from Message to the Black Man. I didn't know we would take the turn to the Arabic language as a key or central point of the conversation, but I think it's important to lift this up. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated in Message to the Black Man, he states, this is a couple of short paragraphs here. He stated, they could not do it. It was not for them to do. Speaking of the old world of Islam, what am I doing? The resurrecting of the dead. Their own holy Quran teaches them that Allah teaches a messenger from every people that He intends to warn to destroy. It tells them in plain words that an Arab and an Arabic Quran could not be an instrument sent to the people who must be resurrected, because they would have the excuse that they could not read Arabic and therefore exercise their disbelief by saying that this was an Arab and an Arabic Quran. The Quran teaches that they must have the Quran in their own language, and they must not have a foreigner but someone from among themselves who could speak their language. He could not be one who could speak Arabic until Allah taught him Arabic. Until Allah taught him Arabic. Therefore, the messenger is not an Arab or an Arabic speaker in the resurrection of the dead, not the people who must be resurrected, according to the Quran, so that later Allah taught him Arabic. Later Allah taught him Arabic.
Look at that.
And then he said in his Quran that now I give to thee a holy Quran in the language of the people whom he is among who did not speak Arabic. And now I give them an Arabic Holy Quran that I may warn the mother city. So this is our role, brothers and sisters, is that we are now with the development as a people, as we mentioned in hip-hop and the black culture, we find Arabic on the rise. Its root is in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and its root ultimately is in the Arabic Quran. And I'll close on this point. In a table talk, Sister asked the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, would the new book he received be different from the Arabic Quran that we have today, or would it be an altogether new Arabic? His response was, it is the same Arabic Quran. Then her follow-up question was, well, how much of it have you received thus far? And he responded, I'm just about six lines down into it. So what we have is a process of returning to ourselves that centralizes around the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's study of Arabic. And now we find as Sister Dr. Ava said, you know, Malik and Shaquille and so many other Arabic names that we are calling ourselves by, having not fully stepped into the Arabic language, but in that process. So when we now step into our knowledge of self, our language of Arabic, take back the tongue that the enemy has stolen from us, and now begin to interpret the Arabic Quran into a language that is reflective of what has been lost in the deviation of the Muslim world, we will now become qualified warners to the mother city. And if you look over the, in the east and see what is happening in the mother city, we will see that it definitely needs a warning. And praise be to Allah. We are rise as a people, as a nation, to be among the warners. So I thank you for this opportunity to speak to the believers during this holy month of Ramadan, and I definitely will love to come back on, inshallah, at a near date. And all you have to do, Sister Dr. Ava, is ask me. If not, I'll come find you.
Yes, sir. Oh, count on it. Count on
please,
it.
Please.
Thank you. We thank Allah and His Christ and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for you.
Yes.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Ava, I just got to, thank you, Brother
Sutton. Yes, sir, Brother.
And I had to just jump in there. I just say that if anybody before this call had a question or a doubt about who he is and who he and who he with, he just crushed all of that. and I say that is because some people always, you know, we always ask, has Farrakhan changed direction? He has not deviated one atom weight from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and who he has appointed the first imam of the mosque, right in line with Minister Farrakhan. And even in his teaching, Minister Farrakhan, when he teaches us from where we are. So if he's in a hip-hop community, he talks to them. If he's in in the hood with the brothers, he talks to them to the way that they need to be talked to. But he always brings the teaching. He always brings the scripture. So when he's in the church, he'll introduce Islam, but he's talking Jesus. When he's in the Islamic community, he's talking Quran. So as he just laid out, he said, brother, stick with the Quran. Stick with what they know and teach from what they know and don't go outside of that bringing something foreign to them. So if you don't want them bringing something foreign to us, we don't bring nothing foreign to them. So that's why we must study and we must be astute. So when we look at Minister Farrakhan, he is the best student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad because he teaches in a universal language that whoever is in the audience gets touched by the principle of his message, and it's not just something that's dogmatic and stuck in one form and shape. So I love how Brother Imam teaches the universal religion of Islam and our way of life and our deen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Brother Imam, and inshallah, we will hear from you again soon.
Amen.
May Allah
thank you.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, man.
That was incredible, beautiful experience. I'm going to go on to the remaining callers, and Brother Imam gave us so much, we should be able to continue the discussion. And I don't want to go off the air, however, without hearing from Dr. Ridgely about the event this past weekend, but let me get, I think we might be in trouble. Our next caller is Dr. Salam. Yes.
As-salamu
alaykum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, family. Oh, my God. This was... Thank you, Elevated Places. There's no other place on earth that this could have happened. It's hard to follow up on that. But in this month of purification, and that's what Ramadan really is, it's a purifying. And Brother Tarrant, you touched me well when you mentioned that, you know, folks challenge you
you don't get into that kind of stuff during Ramadan. And I kind of, you know, you want to, well, you want to go back
yeah.
to the old days sometimes. But I would just like to share something with you from a brother named M.H. Shakir, who wrote the Quran that I have. And I noticed that in the East, I've heard this, that the Holy Quran is often described as Islam's living miracle. And that is a powerful suggestion. But in his preface, he says, a miracle is the inability or incapability to imitate an extraordinary feat, one who is capable of effecting something which nobody else can effect, is the doer of a miracle. A miracle is something that challenges what is already established, proving what is out of the ordinary is violating the rules of normalcy. And I thought that was so profound. But when I take a look at the two men who has influenced me so greatly, and that would be the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, there has been no deviation of the teachings from the messenger. There has been no deviation from the Quran. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan can sing the Al-Fatiha and the rest as well as anybody in the East. The brother is more than a miracle himself. But what I wanted to close with is that I feel that this evolution that's happening with us today as to the time and what must be done, what you're really doing, the three of you, Brother Terrence, Dr. Risley, and the most powerful black woman on the planet, Dr. Ava Muhammad, what we are doing, we are raising the dead to life in this 90 minutes. In every 90 minutes of every week, there's an evolution going on. I think there are millions upon millions of people who are really listening, but this show almost alone is the greatest help to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that I know of. And I thank you, and I just ask you, please, to get that brother back on one day. And Brother Flight Lieutenant,
you're down on it.
Bon voyage, dear brother. As-salamu alaykum.
We're being so blessed. We truly are. And we just need to move quicker. And I'll say to you, I say to Ruby, just have to
like
a lot of every possible tool.
You breaking up?
Am I breaking up?
There you go.
Back.
Okay. Yeah, I guess Satan is really upset right now. Over what we were just given. That's like the, in the final quarter of the championship game. And you're behind, but you're destined to win. And like the missing link is what Brother brought us. And that
yes.
is the language.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The language.
That is
and
the language.
Spirit, and the spirit in the language and the spirit to the language.
Yes.
See, I trust Brother Sultan Rahman to teach me Arabic. I trust him to go into it because
yes.
he goes into it with the love of the messenger and the teaching and the minister, whereas others went into it with a different mindset.
That's right.
So we have a going back to the original, the people who speak Arabic now, the question is where is their heart in terms of Allah and Islam? Because the Minister Farrakhan warned us warned them that they trust the white man more than they do Allah. But they can
right.
they can still speak the language. They can mouth the language. But Brother Sultan is going into the heart of the language and the spirit of Allah in the language to bring all that back to us so we can use it properly. So I just really got a whole lot from listening to him and understanding, trying to understand where he's coming from and taking us. And I really like where he's coming from and where he's taking us.
And again, it's rooting this new, it's Farrakhan. You know, just in his choice and his attraction, that the grandson of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is not only fluent in the language, but as you said, has the in-depth understanding of the root from the perspective of the Savior.
Right.
And that's what's important, because I love what he taught us tonight. And he turned us on, he says the minister turned us on in the time of what must be done to the techniques of the enemy. Because, see, you cannot destroy the will. The will is indestructible. You cannot destroy the will of the black man. But what you can do is redirect the will.
Come on.
And so one of the great tricks of Satan that has kept him here is his skill in technology.
That's right.
And what he has done is made us have a dislike for our true self.
Right.
We don't like dark skin. We don't like the Arabic language. We don't like modesty. We don't like a pork-free diet, because Satan can't destroy our will, but he can redirect it. And now our will tonight was redirected back.
Yes.
And what was put in us is a desire for our original language. I love when he said English is a bastard language, so it's inclined to deviation.
Yes.
The words themselves.
No, and it's funny as you say it, because, you know, I was giving a restate and remind everybody that you're going to be talking about real love this weekend on WVON, 4 p.m. Central.
Sir.
And we want to make sure people go to WVON and hear real love. But when I bring that real love up, because one of the things in your book about real love, you talk about communication. And where there's no proper communication, the relationship doesn't work. And so when he talked about the language, we're using a bastard language that does not allow us to fully communicate with one another. So as Dr. Ridgely said, he's going into the heart and the spirit and the nature in which Allah utilizes that language. So what is the spirit? What is the intent? When you give the greetings, what is the intent? As he says, some people are trying to use the language for what they want and how to use it. So what is the spirit and the nature? So when we look at Minister Farrakhan and when he corrects us, we don't mind the correction from him, because we know he does it out of love, as we've seen other leaders condemn, as we talked about Bill Cosby condemning the black community, and people was felt harsh about it, but the minister does it all the time. But his intent and the spirit in which he does it is out of love, and you feel that love, so you don't mind taking that correction. So this whole sense of communication is real deep. So, you know, that's why I bring up the Real Love book. That's why, I mean, you got so many jewels in there of relationships and how we vibe with one another as we're in this month of Ramadan.
That's right. Beautiful. Well, we've got Sister Irene holding. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Sister, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I am so blessed with this Ramadan. Our Ramadan coming up again in December, where we can correct the wrongs that we didn't do this one.
Yes,
ma'am. In existence right now. I love you, Sister Ava.
Love you,
Brother Sultan. He enlightened, that brother, you talking about, what did they say, pump it up and turn it up, and he blew it.
Turn it up.
To a rocket science type explanation that we needed so much.
Oh, my God, yes, ma'am.
Sister, I heard him say, this is what I heard him say, that the Quran is the dove of Islam. When you open it up, it do look like the bird flying.
That's right.
Soaring cool, higher than even the phoenix bird couldn't touch it. Islam, oh sister, I'm getting chills talking, and I'm not going to take up all the time because I know someone else wants to express their views and whatever else. But I love Islam. I wouldn't want nothing else. I thank Allah, the all in all of us that love him, the true Muslims, the all. Allah, that's what the word means, the all in all, the true Muslims. And guess what? Islam going to be all over this whole natural-born earth.
Get ready.
Yes. They better.
Yeah, if you want to be on this earth, you're going to be a Muslim.
Yes, ma'am. You won't be, look, you won't be black, crack, right, and exact. You got to be on the right track, and you better not look back. Now,
yes,
look,
she just busted a rhyme, y'all.
Wait. I'll go in that direction, too. We got to know every area to get our people.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know
what
else?
Thank you so much.
I thank you.
Yes,
I hope
ma'am.
Everybody feels the same. The true
believer. I think we do. I think we do.
Okay.
Love
okay.
you, beloved.
I love you, too. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much. Walaikum salam. Awesome. Awesome call. And you know, Sister Irene took me back. I loved it when Imam Sultan talked about the return to the language and how he blew me away when he said it Sunday. That's why I wanted him to repeat it. When he said there is no Arabic word for is, for the word is, present tense, because when you are speaking in the present tense, it's presumed that you are in the present tense. And like you said, when in the hood, we say, well, he good. And that's called Ebonics and all that. But it's presumed that we mean right now.
Right.
And so what's being presented to us as inferiority is actually superiority. Because we do away with unnecessary words.
Right.
And that's what Allah is. He's one. He's the number one. He's the shortest distance between two points. You can't do anything better, faster, or more straight than Allah. So when we say he good, we know we
That's
need
right.
right now. You know, so that
right.
that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And of course, Brother Terrence, you made me remember too that we are doing Real Love on VON, and we will do it here next Thursday as well. I want to remind us of the increase in violence, in murders, right here in Chicago,
That's
all
right.
over the country. And President Obama talking about sending in the military. Okay, the governor of Illinois is offering the state police. See, there's nothing happening that Minister Farrakhan didn't tell us
right.
about.
That's
not
right.
a thing happening that he didn't warn us of. And so
right.
we better get busy and pull and close ranks. You know, the brother talked tonight about 300 in the voluntary gifts, sir, and 300
yes.
versus 1,000. We're going to be fighting these people. It might be 3-1, 10-1.
Literally.
But Allah has our back. But the
That's
biggest
right.
fight that we can wage is to come together. And
yeah,
I believe in my heart that this thing will be over in the twinkling of an eye if we would just do as he spoke of tonight, overcome this little pettiness, envy, jealousy, backbiting. We talk about the little young brothers fighting, killing each other over a block, but we're doing the same thing over titles and positions. You know, we just need to stop it. And submit and know that Allah, as he said in the Quran, he desires not hardship for you.
Mm.
He desires ease for you. So let's stop being afraid of the hereafter and let's walk into it. And, well, Dr. Rizzi, we're going to have to get your summary next Thursday because I don't want to cut it off. And maybe
okay.
Sister Ann will come on as well.
Okay.
and share a segment with you so we can, and some of the people that attended as well, so that we can really get some insight into what I know was a profound event. So thank you all, Brother Dr. Risley, Brother Terrence, Sister Rona, Sister LaDonna, Brother Ashad, Sister Valerie, all of the members of the Elevated Places team. We're going to keep growing and growing, and Allah willing, we will...
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.